think we have to move forward to the next part of the session. So the Vulptan story post-Everest, what is next? And the answer will come from Dr. Felker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I was asked to talk about vasopressin antagonist trials. So the first question really is, didn't we do this already, and why should we continue? So as Alice actually outlined, I think the dose and caress trials both point out what an unmet medical need we still have in what I'll call decongestion therapy in hospitalized heart failure patients. Our tools that we have, as everyone knows, this oft-showed slide from Greg Fonero that we have, with the tools we have in hand, even though it appears that many of our patients improve, we are, I think, quite limited still in our ability to successfully decongest patients, especially some subgroups, which I'll touch on. So, what would be the ideal decongestion therapy? Well, one which is safe, given what we've just talked about, effective, and I agree that body weight is a relatively poor surrogate, but we have various surrogates for congestion symptoms. I think the natriuretic peptides are probably the best surrogate for congestion, but they do have quite a few limitations. And then we have these challenging subgroups, which are hard to treat with traditional diuretic-based approaches like hyponatremia patients, those with the severe kidney disease or other forms of diuretic resistance. There we got it. So I was asked to talk about the Vaptans, and of course that story revolves around vasopressin, and as we know, vasopressin is a key hormone that controls intravascular volume and particularly free water movement. And as we're aware, there's elevations of AVP are associated with poor outcomes, and there's identified receptors in the renal tubules and also in the blood vessels and myocardium, and a variety of agents which either selectively block the V2 or block both receptors have been developed. And, of course, you can't talk about the Vaptans without talking about Everest, and Mihai's here, and I'm sure we'll have some comments after we're done. So Everest, it's important to remember the goals of Everest, which was Everest was started in the hospital but continued post-discharge. It's really a long-term study and showed good safety but no efficacy in terms of preventing cardiovascular long-term outcomes with tolvaptan versus placebo. This slide has been showed a lot. So at least in the subgroup that had hyponatremia, which that's what the approved label for tolvaptan is, so you might imagine, might have a greater efficacy. There was at least some suggestion that there was benefit in that subgroup of patients. And when you look at the acute effects of tolvaptan, and remember Everest enrolled patients relatively late in their hospitalization compared to many of the trials we were talking about earlier, but even at that relatively late date, there was at least about a kilogram difference in weight and a suggestion with the fairly limited dyspnea assessments that were done in this trial because it wasn't its focus that there was improvements in dyspnea with tolvaptan relative to placebo. And interestingly, those improvements were greater in patients who were randomized relatively early and in those who had persistent dyspnea. Alex talked about this morning or earlier this afternoon. This thing really doesn't want to work. There you go. A variety of patients in Everest actually had fairly limited dyspnea by the time they were enrolled, but in those patients who still had significant dyspnea, the treatment effect in terms of symptom resolution was greater. So the question, and this is the slide I showed earlier, is even though we know tolvaptan is not an appropriate long-term therapy for heart failure, could it be a tool for acute decongestion? Well, we know it's safe. We know it, at least based on Everest, seems to have impact on volume loss, body weight, and dyspnea, and theoretically could be effective in some challenging subgroups that we've already talked about. So there's other vasopressin antagonists out there. The BALANCE trial with lixivaptan, which was discussed at the FDA this fall, focused on hyponatremia in patients with heart failure, showing improvements in hyponatremia, but raised some questions with an excess of deaths in the lixivaptan arm, although that was not statistically significant. So there's three small investigator-initiated studies really looking at the same question about short-term effects of vasopressin antagonist tolvaptan, in particular in acute decompensated heart failure. One is tactics, which is our study we're coordinating at DCRI. Probably the greatest acronym ever, the secret of CHF. Jim Udelson has been waiting for years to use this acronym for a trial to come along, so he's very excited to finally break it out. And then finally activate, which is slightly more complicated. So I'll just touch on each one briefly. All these are small trials with all the limitations of small trials. So tactics is a small trial, 250 patients, and it's the name tactics really, tactics as opposed to strategy. So can you use in patients with relatively early with acute heart failure and low normalish sort of sodiums or lower and biochemical evidence of congestion, improved dyspnea with a short course of tolvaptan in addition to diuretics. You can think of it really as a carryover from some of the same questions asked in the DOSE trial. The secret of heart failure is quite similar, and I'll just show this acronym again because it's fun to show. Similar acute heart failure with at least one high-risk feature, so low GFR, hyponatremia, or diuretic resistance defined by a poor response to initial dose of furosemide, and again, primary endpoint of dyspnea. And then Activate is Al Mizell and Frank Peacock's trial, a little bit different, has two arms. It's focused in the ED and around observation units, also focused on dyspnea, but has at least one arm that's focused around the measurement of copeptin. Copeptin, if you're not familiar with it, is the mid-regional peptide of the prohormone of AVP, so basically is a marker of AVP biologic activity. So trying to focus on patients with greater activation of that axis as measured by copeptin levels in the emergency room, and there's also an observation unit arm. So when you look at these trials, they're really all basically focusing around the same concept, and that is, can short-term therapy with a vasopressin antagonist affect, relatively important, I think, but still modest goals, short-term improvements in dyspnea. And two of these trials have already started enrollment. One, I think, is still in the planning phase. And I think that's it. Thank you.
I think we should reserve the discussion after.
I want to say something very, very important. During the AHA, Michael Berm, showed a slide about tolvaptan and hyponatremia. The heart doctor called me and asked me if I had anything to do with the slide. I checked with Otsuka, and they're the one to disclaim that that slide should not be shown. The data was analyzed, and that data is not accurate. So first of all, I like to see a stop. If you don't believe me, call Otsuka and talk to them. That slide was circulated some time ago during one advisory board for Otsuka. And now if you talk with Otsuka, they will feel strongly that that data should not be shown. I think it's an honest mistake, but, so we have to be very careful. That's one thing. Second, Michael showed us nicely about the relation between vasopressin and outcome. In the Everest trial, the paper that's coming out in Circulation HF, we show clearly that tolvaptan doubled the vasopressin level. So in spite of having a major reduction in body weight, in spite of improving hyponatremia over time, tolvaptan did not show clinical benefit. That's why it's dangerous to look at certain endpoints. Now, the question is, why other studies? Because we look at every single subgroup, and in spite of decreasing body weight, we were not able to show in a single subgroup, including the hyponatremic subgroup, that tolvaptan had any effect. Our hypothesis is the following, that the vasopressin 2 antagonist has a bidirectional effect. On one hand, is doing all the right things, decreasing body weight, improving hyponatremia, but maybe deleterious by the fact that increasing vasopressin level may have a negative effect. So, in fact, the hypothesis is still open. Also, I want to send the record straight. Our Everest was three trials in one, with trial A, B, and the long term. But trial A and B reached the primary endpoint. To the best of my knowledge, even if you're critical of the primary endpoint, those are the only two trials in parallel that show a beneficial effect on the primary endpoint.
So Mike, would you like to reply?
With Mike Giorgiotti, one other mechanism that we worried about, and I'd be worried about these trials in the long run, because when you give the V2 antagonist and you have an upregulation of vasopressin, you get V1A stimulation and you release aldosterone, and you may be negating all of the benefit. Not only negating, you may be shifting over to harm. So I'd be very, very concerned about the long-term outcomes here.
So I appreciate the comments from both. I think, first, I think if Everest shows us anything, that there's not a long-term harm signal from starting this in hospital and continuing it chronically over a very long period of time. There's no evidence of harm that I know of shown in the Everest trial. These are obviously very short treatments for a day or two with a short-term goal. So appreciate the comments. I'm not certain, and they may very well be those mechanisms may very well be correct. I'm not sure how much to interpret increasing vasopressin levels in the context of blocking vasopressin, because as everybody knows, it alters the feedback loops, so just like RAS inhibition. So I think the question is, we're doing all these trials. We talked about CARES, trying to look at therapies that can provide some decongestion as a short-term treatment in the hospital. And I think the open question is whether, as an adjunct to diuretics, other treatments, be they low-dose nusiratide, like we're studying in the Heart Failure Network, short-term tolvaptan, or others can be that adjunct.
Thank you.